Bibles, Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 7. Let's read this chapter. It is very interesting. I think I will slow down as we get into deeper into the book of Proverbs. I really didn't anticipate this, that I would be teaching and preaching one chapter a week, but it seems to be flowing okay. We will pause quite a bit in coming chapters because there's going to be some verses you'll be like, what is that? And we'll pause and we'll talk about them just because I don't want to skip the richness of this great book, the Book of Wisdom. Book of Wisdom, title message is simply More Advice Concerning the Evil Woman. More advice, you know. I want you to understand this. God gives this because He's the one that created this incredible attraction between men and women. And it is powerful. It is, we need to focus on Christ in order to discipline this flesh, which wants nothing to do with God. It's a glorious thing. It's a wonderful thing when it is within the framework of God. It's like fire. It can be amazing, but it can do a lot of damage if not managed and controlled. And the same with, passion between a man and a woman. It is, it's wonderful, intended within marriage, but this is, again, you'll see as we get to the end, it's talking about a woman going after a man, and it could be a man going after a woman. So just understand there's much for us to learn. And chapter 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now you're going to see beginning in verse 6, it's kind of fun. I love the variety that God gives in His Word. This would almost be like a storyteller. I was standing at the window, like a movie, and watching this simple man. That's what it was. Verse 6. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face, and a face that is unsubmissive, rebellious, and you can just see this woman is not interested in compliance. I'm trying to think of the best words. Verse 11, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with the fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning, a worldly definition of love. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man, her husband, is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Verse 24, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. You won't be the first, and you won't be the last. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Again, the sobriety, the seriousness of this. It is I think of the Lord in His holiness and when He created Adam and Eve and all that is beautiful and wonderful within marriage and everything, all of it. It's just wonderful. There's nothing dirty, nasty about it at all. You remember this, that Adam and Eve were clueless, that they were naked until sin. And then they're like, Eve learned to sew real quick. Some fig leaves, right? Thankfully, it looks like thorns and thistles hadn't come yet, or poison ivy, right? So, because that happened after God cursed the earth. But it was all beautiful and wonderful. And so then for God to have a chapter like this, and we've seen in chapter 3 and chapter 5, the warnings of the perversion of God's way, it's heart-wrenching to me. Sometimes I've wondered, have you ever thought about this when we're in heaven? I think the Lord's going to preach His Word. And His Word is eternal. There'll be no tears in heaven. But I think we'll have these commands and it'll be a reminder of what He saved us from, what the world was that we came from. It's heart-wrenching that in God's holy, perfect Word, He has to have warnings, admonitions of the like. But every single person sitting here, you know this. We need it, do we not? Everybody that is honest will say amen, right? We must keep our focus on Christ. I love this first thing in verse 2. In verse 2, keep my commandments and live. Just look at verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live. It is such a beautiful thought. It's just a simple thought. It is, you want to live? Keep His commandments. You know, you want to live longer, right? We're all going to die. It's just, you know, this is such a familiar passage, but for those that it's not, you should memorize this passage. It's one of the great ones. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How can I cleanse my way? He says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 10 is probably one of my favorite verses because it is, have you ever felt that way in prayer? Oh God, make me a robot. Oh God, let me not wander from thy commandments. And I know what he's saying. But the Lord would say, I've given you everything you need not to. But I'm like, a little extra help, please. You know? And then he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Keep my commandments and live. I don't think I've talked a little bit. I have this neighbor, and we've shared the gospel a number of times. At times he's mocked us. He gets a little alcohol in him, and he kind of mocks us. And he's one of these guys, and here I'm talking. I don't think I do this to people, but maybe I do. You're like, you do. It's like, oh, don't want to name his name because you see him, and you're like, I don't have an hour. And so here I was on my little riding mower. I'm always got a plan, right? For me, you know, if I'm not at risk of flying off the riding mower when I'm going around a corner, I'm not going fast enough. And it's like, I've got a timer. I want to beat the timer. It's like, I don't want to waste time. Who wants to mow grass? Came around the corner. He's standing at the fence, his fence. And I'm like, oh, man. He knows how I mow my grass and the pattern, and I wanted to change it immediately. And so he starts talking to me, and And it's just, but you know, he was kind. Deb had probably mentioned something about my eye. He said, "How's your eye?" And I said, "You know, the Lord's blessing, and it's doing okay." And you know, we talked a little bit. And you know, he's a little older than me. You know, in his 60s. You know, just super old. And you know, I mean, I try to respect my elders, right? And so, it is. So he was talking about his ailments and mentioning my ailments, and you know, I thought it was the open door. I said, "Well, you know." You know why my eye's all messed up, right? I didn't even throw my joke in there. And Deb poked me in it. I didn't, but I said, sin. I said, "You know why this tree's going to die? Sin." You know, I went through my spiel. I said, "Do you think the earth is falling apart faster or slower?" "Oh, faster for sure." I said, "Do you think we're sinning more or less?" "Oh, more." I said, "The Bible tells us that sin is destroying this earth, not fossil fuels." I said, I almost said his name. I said, "You know, the only hope that we can get rid of our sin, because you can't go to heaven with any sin. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. Going to church isn't good. Being part of church isn't good. Baptism," because I know where he goes. He was like, and then he said this. "We know that." And the conversation ended more quickly. Is that your response? I wanted to, but you know, it would have been rude, I think. I wanted to say, "How come you're not excited about it?" "We know that. We know that. Thanks for nothing." You got to understand, I can look out my back window, and he's been nice to us, right? I mean, he talks a lot, and it's, there's been some, you know, but nothing big. We've been blessed with good neighbors. I'm looking at a guy that's going to spend eternity in damnation, and it's real. It is, I don't know. I told somebody, you know, I worry about this. Steve, you know why I think I witnessed to him? So I'd feel better about myself. That's the sin. You see, I don't know if I care about this guy that much. You can tell the way I talk about him, probably not, right? That is, I think that may be more dishonoring to God than not witnessing. I should have witnessed, absolutely. But I think I did it because I needed to show how good I was, right? I don't know. I have no idea what my motive is. If that's my motive, Steve, I dishonored Christ. The way we honor Christ is not from the external, it's the old heart. And so, you know, keep my commandments and live. It is, I don't know. Sin will kill you. You want to sin more, you'll die faster. I want to sin more, I'll die faster. I love this. Do you see this in verse 4? He says, "Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister." I had two sisters. Having lunch with my older sister tomorrow, much older than me. "Thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman." I just pondered this a little bit, right? So it's like this. It is... You know, so I thought about this. We defend our sisters, right? I remember that. We would defend our sisters, and rightly I should. And I think we don't abuse our sisters, right? We should, you know, be... And I remember this. My sister's 2 years older than me. And so, you know, I mean, we had knockdown dragouts when I grew up. You know, like, boom, 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 boom. My parents didn't know about it. And so then all of a sudden, I'm like 10. I don't think we'd had a knockdown dragout in a while. But man, she let me have it, and man, I got her, bang, 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 and I'm on her, boom, boom, and I'm like, where's the, at that point I realized, ooh, something's changed. And all of a sudden, it switched, right? And I had to become the brother and the protector, and she knew it too. It was like, it was super weird, right? It's like, oh man, you know, down for the count. She didn't get up. I was like, oh no, Mom and Dad are going to kill me now. But it is, but I tell you this, I think of this, and this is, you guys, this is, treat women as a sister, right? If we understood this, every woman in this room was created by God. Every single woman. Those that are saved, do you know who their father is? The Lord. You better not mess with any of my girls. I need to take it to the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But I'll be like, you know, I'm going to help you at any moment that you need, right? You know, and I'm here to protect my girls, protect my wife, protect my daughters, protect my granddaughters. And I feel that same way about you. I believe that is one of my roles in this church is protection, not just physically, but spiritually as well. Let me help you with this. If you understood this, how can we, you know, look upon a woman that is not our woman, and she is somebody's sister, she's somebody's daughter, and if she's saved, she's the daughter of God. If we stay conscious of that, I think it'll help us. He says, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. But I think there's just, it is men, let's be honorable. We can talk about the woman all day long and the temptress. You and I have to change our mindset about how we view women and how we view God and honor Him in all cases. You understand that? It is, while I know the Bible deals with this, right? And we, you know why God deals with this? Because, you know, we fall for it. We're naive. We're the fools. And He needs to warn us. And so, just a simple summary, verse 5, it says, you know, treat wisdom as your sister. Well, verse 5, that they, wisdom and understanding, that they, wisdom and understanding, may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. If you're struggling, let me tell you this. You just need wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding of God's Word. Wisdom and understanding of God's ways. And you need to seek it as though you're going to die. If somebody in our midst is in the thralls of just being one of these fools, it could be me, it could be you, then we need to take heed and say, oh God, You've told me. It's wisdom and understanding that'll keep me. We need to seek Him as though our life depends on it. He says, keep my commandments and live. Targets of evil women. Targets of evil women. I want you to see here, it is, so I'm going to say this. Men driven by ego. And I thought about that when I wrote that. Is there one man in here that's not driven by ego? Right? And you know, it's through flattery, right? Look at the end of verse 5. From the stranger which flattereth with her words. You know, I'll tell you this. My wife didn't do this. I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to anyway. But I, it is, maybe it's because she knows. Is my wife in here? No, she's in the nursery. Well, tonight, you know, here I am, you know, getting older, right? And I haven't worked out in a couple weeks because of my eye, right? So it's just not quite, you know. And so she gets my clothes ready every night. I say, hey, you know, you have my clothes ready? And it's the longest standing joke, you know. And she goes, no, you're going naked. She'll say that, and I'll be like, ha, ha, ha. You guys, that happens every Wednesday night. And I'm like, and she, I don't know, she just says it every Wednesday. It's like, hey, you got my clothes ready? And so then tonight, but I will tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. I'm not blaming the woman for a man being a fool. But my wife, she does. So tonight, you know, she gets my clothes ready, and I unbutton my shirt, and she goes, wow, I like seeing that. And I'm thinking, you know, every man wants their woman to go, you know. And she did that not knowing this. And you know this, it is, I know it might sound silly, but ladies, you know, my wife strokes my ego. You understand that? I'm not blaming people. And so, you know what? She just, it's this. But let me tell you, men, let me tell you this. The flattery of words. Look at verse 15. She does the same thing in verse 15. Look at verse 15. Therefore came I forth to meet thee. I just came for you. It's just you. I'm just looking for you. You. You're special. Therefore came I to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. And I have found thee. It is, find your satisfaction in Christ and you know, rejoice in the wife of your youth. It's, you know, it's just funny, right? I love growing old with my wife, and And when she did that today, I wasn't even thinking about this message. I completely forgot about it. I was like, oh. Every man knows. It's like, what in the world? I forgot. Oh, we have services tonight. You know what I mean? Yeah, every man knows. It's like, that's when the woman kisses him. Understand this. I'll get there. When a woman is too aggressive physically, we'll get there. Red flag. She knows what she's doing. I'm telling you, it's still that way today. Deb will kiss me and she'll be like, what's your answer? I'll be like, what did you ask? Okay, maybe I'm just weird. I'm just weird, right? I'm like, heaven. You know, I mean, it is. And when a woman is aggressive, there's a purpose. They know what they're doing. Every man is a fool that won't understand that. And so I'm not saying women enjoy the physical as much as men, but it is the ego, men, the ego. You're still trying to prove you still have it. You will fall. I'm just telling you, that's what will happen. Simple men, targets of the evil women are simple men. Look at verse 7. And behold, among the simple ones. I love, I just found this description, and I think it's good. I want you to hear this simple. And maybe I've, but it says, being simple in the scriptures isn't stupidity. So understand, being simple in the scriptures isn't stupidity, but inexperience in gullibility, naivety, that you think you got this, you think you know. And it comes many times with youth, but I've seen it with older people as well. The simple are uneducated in the ways of wisdom and understanding. I love even the wording that this writer wrote. They're uneducated. You see, it's not good to be ignorant in the ways of wisdom and the ways of understanding. It's not good to be ignorant in the ways of God's word. Ignorance is not bliss. And it's just, but I will tell you, the simple men that live for the moment and have no perspective of life. We'll get there, but you know, when the Bible says it's like a, what's the exact wording that, like a dart striking you in the liver. Oh, the night is sweet, but the morning comes. And it may, the morning, you know, it's just an illustration. It may be 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. You think you can do things different than God's way, and you can make it work. I want you to understand this. It's not God striking out at you. God's not up there going, dummy. It is absolutely the result of sin and the consequence of sin. You understand that? It is not the zapping God. Do not think that at all. He's just telling you, I'm telling you what will happen. She's had her wounded in the past. She'll have more in the future. And you think you're smarter than that? Don't ruin your life. But she targets men driven by ego, simple men, men void of understanding. It says that in verse 7. Look at this. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, clueless. Somebody asked me just recently, I got a friend and he's not in sin yet. Should I say something because I'm concerned? I said, absolutely, one-on-one, privately, never to humiliate. And I said, just take them aside and look at them eye to eye and help them. Help them. It's never to condemn. It's to help. I tell you this, I want, not just with this, but I'm not here to just do what I want to do. We are a church. I want us to do what we can do to reach this community for the glory of God and to further His kingdom. We need help. And here, I tell you this, she targets people that have nothing but idle time. It should say nothing but idle time. Wandering in the night. There's a lot of similarities. So here's what, this is a problem. I'm telling you, I will tell you this. You want to involve your time in eternal things. But if you are struggling, I would tell you what you need to do is cut down trees and chop wood. That would be better than having idle time and sin against God. I'm not telling you just to go out and chop wood. Now, we've got a couple dead trees, so if you want to volunteer, I got some. But it is you better fill your time so that you're just not wandering the streets, going at night, and looking for trouble. You'll find it. Idle time. And we have more time than ever before because the efficiency of our lives is amazing. You think you can handle idle time? And it's very much like this. So, you know, we talked last week about laziness, but so I take you just to a few verses that just laziness and idle time, because you know what? It's this. It's, you could always, there's always something to do, but you'd rather sin, and I'd rather sin. Fill your life with eternal things, but I'll tell you, chopping wood's better than falling to Proverbs 7. 2 Thessalonians 3, just a review from last week, but it does involve both work and idle time. He said, for even when we were with you, this command, we commanded you that if any work not, neither should he eat. God wants you to work. He doesn't want your life to be about work. Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. It's this. It's what can you do, right? What can you do for the kingdom of God? You tell me. Holden told me just last night, he goes, well, yeah, I really like to do this. And he's got a task. He said, I like to work. And I know this. I got a single young man right there. Been there. You know this. I want to help you. I want you to get involved in eternal things and good things. And maybe we can use your technical, just your desire. You enjoy technical things. Not me, man. I'm just telling you, I'm a big picture guy. Handle it. And we need the details, right? But I did that. You know, I did that last night. I wanted to help you. Your job is stressful. You got a lot of time outside of your job, don't you? Right? Fill your life with eternal things. Otherwise, you'll find your life wandering. You got a phone. You can waste your entire night on a phone. Computer games. You can waste your entire time on computer games. I'm sure I've said this before. Let me just tell you this. If you want to be a man and you want to be a woman of God, stop the games. Stop the games. Grow up, okay? Grow up and stop the games, okay? I don't know who is involved in games here. Grow up, stop the games, and serve God, all right? Are you confused? Throw out the systems. It's idiotic. Waste people's lives. So does the phone. Throw the phone away if you can't manage the phone. I do love when I hear stories. People go, I'm not on Facebook anymore because it sucks up my time. And then they find out there's a Messenger app that you can get in it. And I say, I got to get rid of Messenger. I love people trying. I'm not saying you can't play a video game. I just know this. Video games are kind of like all or nothing. You're either in. I can't wait. Or you're not. I'm just telling you, what are we doing? Do you think we're going to play video games in heaven? I can guarantee you we are not. You come up to me and go, ha, 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 we have video games. I'll be like, I'm shocked. We're not going to have video games in heaven. I'm telling you this to say, grow up. And then see how much time you might free up. You're always tired? Go to bed. At a reasonable time, get up and do what's right. These are simple things. Let me tell you this. You know why? You have all this idle time. You'll sin. Just look at a few more verses. It's Proverbs 24. Let's just read this. We'll get there in months to come. I went by the field of the slothful, the lazy, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. You know why? Because the lazy bum wouldn't take care of his house. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. I mentioned that last week. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. I'm just telling you, idle time and laziness go hand in hand. I mentioned this. I mentioned our widows. I want to show you the passage where I reference the widows. It's 1 Timothy 5. Many of you know this. But he says the younger widows refuse. And the Bible talks about that our church has a responsibility for widows indeed that have no family. And we're the first line of defense, and we ought to be the first line of defense, right? My mother-in-law doesn't fit that category. Carla doesn't fit that category. Lana's the closest. Lana's the closest in our church of being a widow indeed. And but he says the younger widows refuse. Why? The younger, for when they have begun to be to wax wanton or sinful, wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation or judgment because they have cast off their first faith. Doesn't mean that if your husband dies, you can't remarry, but these widows, he's talking about this, and with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies. Men can be that too. Speaking things which ye ought not, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. It's what I've said about our widows. They are good widows. They're not the busybodies. They're not those that have learned to be idle and then take that idleness and try to just pursue gossip and sin and evil. And then just Ezekiel, remember this, Sodom and Gomorrah. You guys know this. I've gone over this several times. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Now, to be clear, their end is spoken about in the Bible, and it was evil, right? It was evil. We all know the sin of Sodom at the end. But this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, they had need of nothing, and an abundance of idleness was in her, and in her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Let me help you. Is that not the United States of America? Full of pride? We have need of nothing, and we have a ton of idleness of time, and it's led to the same sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's led to the same rebellion, and I'll tell you this, the killer is, it's in the house of God. Idleness of time. I tell you that you've got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, the devil does. I am not a conspiracy theorist, though the devil has a plan. I don't know what humans are aware that the devil's doing, but there's a conspiracy, Joe. And the devil has a plan. I'm not trying to be goofy about it. The devil has a plan, and if you don't, he'll just take you right down his path. What is your plan to be godly? What is your plan to honor the Lord? What is your plan that says, by God's grace, I'm not going down the street. I'm not going out at night. I'm not doing this. By God's grace, I'm going to be so tired, I'm going to be sleeping. You don't have a plan. Little voices in your head will say, you know, her husband's gone and she's just down the street. Nobody will see. I do love this. You know, somehow we think with social media, you can do things secretly. My granddaughter, Ellie, she'll be 5 here in October. Maybe I've told you this, but we were on vacation, and Rachel goes, Ellie, did you hit Callum? And she goes, was there a camera? And then, and Rachel, and she said, there was not a camera. We've got issues. And she goes, I did. This generation being raised now, they know they're being videoed always. Was there a camera? You know, it's so weird, right? It is, it's just that we think we can get away with it. Guys, don't worry about the camera. What about God? When I can be rebellious in my thoughts, the piercing thought that comes to me eventually when I'm thinking right, how could I think so badly against my great God? Idleness of time. Chop wood. Okay, I can be more creative than that, but I'll tell you this. And then, you know what I would love? I would love if we call Chop Wood Baptist Church. That would be a good name. Better to chop wood than do this, right? I'm just telling you, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. I tell you this, trying to hide our sin by cover of night. Got some thoughts, right? Got some thoughts. We think we can hide. We think we can sneak. There's a camera videoing you everywhere. I sort of do. Sometimes I get sucked into these things about how the bad guys get caught, right? And it's pretty cool. And you won't get away with anything before God, and it's almost that way now. George Orwell was pretty accurate when he said, you know, Big Brother's watching. It's crazy, right? I mean, you know, you're probably being recorded. I'm recorded. It was just used against me. Oh, yeah. I'm okay with what I said. But it's like, oh, yeah, we got the recording. I go play it. It's okay. It was a good lesson for me. What I said, I believe. You know, it doesn't matter. You should say everything you believe. And I've got to be alert. Maybe I need to shut up a little bit more because somebody's recording you. It's crazy. We think we can hide. I just want to show you some Bible verses. Just look at these verses. I want us to be constantly aware. Part of the fear of the Lord is awareness of His presence, awareness of that He is there, but also awareness that He cares. I want you to understand that. Psalm 90, verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. Who can understand His errors? Cleanse Thou me from secret faults. Luke 12, 2. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. You see, we ought to take advantage of the Word of God and knowing the Word of God. It's so helpful that what the world does not know these things. They honestly think they can get away with things. You know better. Ecclesiastes, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And I love Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Just look at that. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Who's the most famous in the Bible? David. Covering his sins. Did he prosper? He didn't. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And confess them before God. If you've wronged others, confess your sins before them as well. I just tell you, we spend so much effort and so much energy being sneaky, hiding our sin. And I've talked about this many times. And we pursue sin sometimes just because, like, woo-hoo-hoo, gives me a rush. Let Christ be our enthusiastic life. But for many sitting in churches just like this, He's not enough. He's not enough. Well, let's women to avoid, right? Well, I'll go through this pretty quickly. Women to avoid. It's the attire of a harlot. The attire of a harlot. Ladies, you should not show off your body in public. For your man, show off. Okay? In public. Men, I'm just telling you this. I wish I could say, we're going to have a 10-minute break. My wife's going to teach this section to the ladies. Ladies, it's so dominating in our culture today that you have to wear clothes that are three sizes too small. That's not for you. That's the devil manipulating our culture and using you to be an instrument to cause men to lust, and men are responsible, not you. You can have some responsibility. In our church, there ought to be, okay, I don't really, there should be no cleavage in our church, okay? Enough, right? And I'm not thinking of anybody here. You follow me? We ought to be modest, and we ought to be in just, you know this? You know, sloppy loose, right? Look at 1 Timothy 2:9. He said, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. We don't have a dress code here, but you know what I say? Be modest. Men, be modest. Today, men are trying to show off their bodies. It's like, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefaced and sobriety, not broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. It's not against looking nice, but it's like, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to bring attention to yourself? That's what this is about. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. It's within. We're going to see that in the next verse. Loud and stubborn. You know, I am thankful. And I don't think we have any loud and stubborn women that I know of in our midst. And so I just wanted to make sure of that. It doesn't mean if a woman is a bit more loud. That is not, but it is, hey, pay attention to me. I'm not happy unless I have two-thirds of the men looking at me. No, I'm not teachable. That's the stubbornness. And I praise the Lord for that. That's when pastoring would be tough. I would address it with my wife. I'm never going to confront a woman by myself. By God's grace, that's not the plan. If I've ever done that, then I'm sorry. I don't remember doing that. Because I'll say things to people, go, well, you did that. I'll be like, well, okay. I didn't mean to. Men confront men, women, women, but I praise the Lord. I don't think we have any loud women that are trying to be the center of attention. Let me tell you, we are blessed. That's rare. Let me show you the Bible verse that would go along with that. 1 Peter chapter 3. Who's adorning, let this talk about the women, go back to the context if you want. Who's adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and the wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. He's like, don't let that be to define who you are. It's fine to dress nicely, you know. But he says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek. This is what the Bible says. Let your decor, let your countenance, let your the effervescence that comes from you, let it be a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. It is, it's okay. God sees it all. You don't have to have other people see it. It's good. I promise you, in this loud and stubborn perspective, I don't think we do. I would tell you if I thought we did, and I would just, I don't. I'm thankful for that. They're focused on the physical, the verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him. I will tell you, men, I know this. You can't wait for the kiss. You're like, you know, put it off. You want to date somebody? Focus on the eternal. Focus on the spiritual. Focus on why would God have us get married. That's the only reason you should date if you're seeking a spouse. And I know the physical can be like July 4th, right? But you don't think right. I'm just telling you. And you see somebody and they're too aggressive, it's manipulating. I tell you, the women to avoid, those that, ladies, I want to tell you this too, just back to the attire of a harlot. When you dress provocatively, when you dress inappropriately, you're not going to draw the godly man. You're screaming, I'm a floozy. Come try me. You'll get a guy, and guys can fake it way better than women. I'm telling you. I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I... They'll play the game, men, am I right or wrong? To get the girl, and when they get the girl, then something happens. They love the chase, and then they'll leave you like a piece of meat. You get a man that loves God, he'll love you, and he'll stay with you because it's the right thing to do, and because he loves you, and he'll make it work because that's what God wants him to do. You want to draw a man that loves God. You dress like a floozy, you'll draw the men that are thinking you've got an open invitation for them. Come on over. Right? I know. Aren't you glad that chapter 7 is soon over? They're full of religion without the truth. Full of religion. Look at this woman. I mean, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. They're full of religion without the truth. They will, you know what? They'll find out, you know, because, you know, you can put on, what are these, dating apps or something? You know, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Yeah, everybody's a Christian. The serial killer down the road's a Christian on the dating app. It's like ridiculous. Whatever they need to be, I'll be it. You know, you ought to see Christianity in people. I think so many times I love this. I go, oh, I think they might be a Christian. I am always disappointed when they're not. Oh, you're not. Oh, okay, I'm so sorry. Because I've actually said, are you a Christian? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? And they'll go, no, I'm not. I'll be like, well, there was no reason I thought you might be. You know, and then I'm convicted. I'm like, they seem nicer than me. That's a problem. People can be full of religion, but are they full of Christ? Do they love Christ? Do they love Christ? Do they love Jesus? Do they love the Lord? And then I tell you this, these are verses 16 through 20. You see all this. She says, I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry. I've got the perfume. Oh, it smells sweet. They're focused on the senses, the feelings, and the temporal. She says, the good man of the house, he's gone. You need to think about tomorrow. And the Bible says, flee fornication. And I think there are times you should literally run. Look, I'm telling you, Deb and I, when we dated, there was times I was like, I got to get out of here. Yeah, just being honest, right? We got married December 17th, praise the Lord. Don't know if I could have made it to the 18th. And I was like, focused. 31 hours, 19 minutes, 42 seconds. I know, you're like, you're weirder than we thought, man. And, you know, it's like, I told you, when I got my apartment right before we got married, and they hadn't hooked the phone up yet, right? And so I didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have cell phones, right? Remember, I got sick. I had to go to the payphone and call my boss, tell him I couldn't come into work. 3 a.m. But I told her, I said, you're not allowed to come over here. It wasn't because I was so great. I'd be like, hello. You know, I mean, I've been there. She never came to my apartment until we got married. Not because I'm such a great guy. That's how evil I am. You understand that? It is focused on the senses, focused on the feelings, focused on the moment, focused on the now. What you got to do is wake up! Tomorrow's coming! Either God's right or it's going to be awesome. It might be for the moment, but let God be true and every man a liar. I scream this, you shake me, you know, till I get it. If you ever, I'm just telling you, you have permission. Two final things. What kind of creature will you be? I love this. Look at this. He says, look at verse 22. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. I love this. Warren Wiersbe said this. Human beings are the only creatures in God's creation who can choose what kind of creatures they want to be. Do you want to be God's sheep? Or do you want to be a horse, a donkey, a hog, or a dog? He gives some Bible verses, Proverbs 32:9, but you are not a horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. 2 Peter 2:22, you're familiar with this. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. It's this, you're going to be an ox. I can't wait. And he's... going to be dinner tomorrow. Clueless. The fool going to the stocks. God likens the fools, and you know them. The people that think you're the idiot, that you're not out there playing the field. I want to tell you, we are so messed up today, they think I'm crazy. It's foolishness. Are you going to be an ox going to the slaughter? And it's not God slaughtering you. It's your choices that are slaughtering you, and it's the consequence of your choices. That's super important for me now. And then finally, will we learn from the wounded? You heard me say this all, verse 26. For she hath cast down many wounded. We have to deal with tough things, even in our church. We want to love and want to be people of reconciliation. And when we have the wounded, let's learn from them. Learn from them. Let's not condemn them. We are never to condemn. I tell you this. It'll be the last time we talk about it at this level for quite some time. Men, find a man, several men that'll help you not be an ox. Ladies, reach out to women. Final story. A guy called me years ago, and I failed him. I didn't really know what to do. I remember I called him 10 years after that, and I said, I need to meet you for lunch. And I wept. And I said, you asked me to help you. And I disappeared. And he fell. I own some of that. You asked me to help you. By God's grace, I'll help you. And I don't exactly know what I'm doing. I want to help you. I'm rooting for you. Would you remember this? Because there's going to be some people in here. One day you're going to think I'm against you. I am not. I promise you. I've got to stand for truth. And I'm not the greatest delivery guy in the world. I love you. I care for you. And I have failed many people. Oh, Christian, Jesus is worth it. Let's pray.